Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today, I'm doing a reaction video. But not just any video, and not just about any person. The video I'm doing is a reaction video about The Rock. He sat down in an interview recently with a gentleman by the name of Patrick Bette David. And in this interview, it caught my attention because The Rock answered some questions no one's ever asked him before. Patrick Bette David came at him in a way that really intrigued me because he got personal with him in a way that I just haven't heard anyone ever talk to The Rock like that before. The Rock's been open about his bouts with depression and insecurities and stuff like that in the past, but this one had to do with the father-oldest-son relationship, so let's get to it. So before I get into this video, I want to give you a little background information about The Rock. So The Rock actually has 7 siblings, according to Google, according to searches we did. And in those siblings, I believe all of them, well, according to the online, it says all of them are half-siblings. And The Rock is the only child from his dad and his mom's relationship. Now, it's very important because if you follow my podcast, you know I talk a lot about the father-oldest-son relationship. In fact, the last episode I did was about the father-oldest-son relationship, and I've done many other episodes about the mother-oldest-daughter, father-oldest-son relationship. But more importantly, it's the oldest child and their same-sex parent is the unique relationship. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this video in just a moment, but I just wanted to let you know that because even though The Rock has other siblings and other brothers that are actually older than him, he is by default, because he's the only child of him and his mom's of his mom and dad's relationship, he's the oldest son. And so that plays a big role in how I'm going to be answering this. Now, if you want to know more about the father-oldest-son relationship and what I'm referring to, go back and watch the last episode. And in the last episode, I also reference other episodes in the past, like years ago, that I've done about this relationship. So let's get into it.
I have watched your eulogy speech of your father.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, over and over and over and over, and you go up and, you know, you're really trying to hold it together, and, you know, and I see the pictures when you're, you know, that one video is the best video is the one that, like, your dad is out there walking out his chest and shoulders, and then you're on the sideline, Young Rock, you know, that's yeah. That's the best when you're seeing that, right? And then the day comes, and I know how important it is for you to be a father. Were you mentally ready for that day many, many years prior to that where you're like trying to prepare for that day to come where it's your hero? Because your father pushed you away from being a wrestler, and the ultimate compliment to your dad is, bro, I want to do what you did. I want to do what you did. I'm going to continue your legacy and tell the world you're my hero. That's the way I saw that. And I saw that young, like, oh, brother, I just want to watch this thing on repeat over and over again. Were you prepared for it? Was it like something you were afraid of? Was it something you mentally and emotionally were getting ready for? Or was it like, I'm never going to be ready for this day?
No, I wasn't prepared for it because my dad died suddenly, just like that. An embolism traveled up and ended his life. So it happened suddenly. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. And here's the thing. And brother, this is just, it's life. And a month before he died, we got into the biggest fight we have ever gotten into. And we never had a chance to reconcile that. Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. And it was during Christmas time too as well. So Christmas was just tainted and I felt like shit. He felt like shit and my mom was involved And I was angry. And 3 weeks went by. We didn't reconcile. He died. And that was it. And so you asked me if I was prepared. No one's ever prepared for that, even if God forbid you have a loved one who is transitioning out and you can prepare as best you can for their transition, or in my case, they say goodbye just like that without saying goodbye. So I never had a chance to say goodbye and never had a chance to write that thing that I wish I did.
So I just want to make a comment real quick. So I've worked with a lot of people, teenagers, adults, that have had a similar experience where they were at odds with their parent or their loved one or best friend, and then that person dies through accident, whatever it may be. And having sat with people who have gone through that, it's heavy. In fact, one of my students a number of years back in high school when I'm teaching, we do these midterms where kids just kind of say, hey, you know, something they wish about their life they could change. Sometimes kids say some more personal, deep stuff. Sometimes it's more like kind of just moderately personal. But I remember this one girl, she said that the biggest fight she ever got in her dad with her dad, she told him to F off, had to do with their cell phone. And so he's like, hey, you know, we're not going to do this right now. And I'll talk to you about it when I get home from this business trip. Well, about 45 minutes later, her dad got in a car accident and died from that car accident. She never saw her dad alive again, never talked to him again. And to listen to this 15, 16-year-old girl tell us in front of classmates who many of them she didn't even know, to see the look on everyone's eyes, to see how, to feel how heavy it was. I'm listening to The Rock right now, and, you know, with all due respect to him, I mean, obviously he's there in a big audience. When I heard this girl say that, it was heavier. And I'm not saying that he hasn't dealt with this, but it definitely looks like to me so far off the jump, and I could be wrong, you know, we'll watch the rest of the video. It looks like he's still grappling with that in a different way. I don't expect him to say exactly what the fight and the argument was about, but I'm just watching him and I could tell just by his body language that this is tough and it's going to be tough, but I bet it's made some serious changes in life. So let's keep it going.
And so that was a tough one. That was, and the lesson, though, I realized is we hear this all the time. You never know what's around the corner. Hug your loved ones. Hug your little ones. I do a lot of work with Make-A-Wish, and every time I do it, yeah, thank you. It's so important.
I just got a comment on this. He felt very uncomfortable with that part of the conversation. You could tell. He went quickly. So whenever I'm dealing with clients and they say something really deep and personal, and you could tell that they're on this edge, and then they go, yeah, but I'm working through it, you know, this, that, whatever I'm doing. That tells me that either A, they're not comfortable talking about it yet, or B, they haven't dealt with it really yet. And in this situation, again, I don't know The Rock, and there is a live audience. So it would make sense if he got really caught off guard. I don't know if this question was, if he was prepared, if he was told that he was going to be asked a question like this. But to me, it seems to me like either A, he just hasn't really been able to figure this out yet, so didn't feel comfortable talking about it, so he went quickly to a solution. Or B, he wasn't feeling comfortable to be that vulnerable with people, and it makes sense. He's a Hollywood guy. He's a celebrity. We're going to watch the rest of this. I hope that he gets more vulnerable as it goes on, because this is what I watched this video once before when it first came out. And I remember throughout this video, he was more vulnerable. So it might be later on the video, but I just want to point that out. This is what we do to protect our emotions, because we're protective of death. Like, we're protective of our loved ones. So he might just be protecting his dad. He might be protecting himself. I'm not quite sure, but let's keep it going.
When you leave those meetings with Make-A-Wish, you see these kids who are so strong, and you see the parents who are being so strong too as well. You go home, you hug your kids tighter. That's just what you do. And so we hear it all the time. Hug your kids. Take care of your loved ones. Hug your loved ones. You never know what's around the corner. But until you go through something like that, that's when those words really hit home. And I realized that, man, I thought, I wish I had a shot just to hug my dad one more time or say... Or hug and say, and maybe he's listening now, so hug and say, it's all right. It's all right. We're good, you know?
Keep going, Rock. You got me there. Now I see you turn the corner, starting to talk a little bit more real, starting to put out there more. That's what I'm looking for right there. Good job, man.
I never had a chance to do that. How? That's why it was so cool meeting your dad backstage. I love that.
Yeah. How big of a role did faith play in you? Like, because that's pretty heavy. That's not easy. That's a very heavy thing that you carry as a man with your father. How big of a role did faith play for you to be able to continue with your life, to be a good father, to be a good role model? Was there a big role there?
Yes. Faith, before my dad passed away, has played a very important part of my life. Faith, after my dad passed away, played a very big part in my life, because a lot of times you go down the road and, you know, there's the phrase, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. A lot of times you walk by faith, not sight nor experience, and you just don't know. So you got to have that faith. The faith is the thing, for one of the many things that can anchor us and that should anchor us. So yeah, it's true. Faith is the anchor, man. It's funny when my dad, because we had a complicated relationship, when I was 5 years old, our bonding was come with me to the gym, sit in a corner, but that was our bonding. And then as I got a little older, 8, 9, 10, he'd let me work out a little bit. He'd take me on the wrestling mats. He'd kick the shit out of me in a good way. His capacity to love. My dad was kicked out of the house when he was 13. I'll tell you a quick story about my dad. So my dad's dad died when he was 13. That Christmas, my dad's mom had another boyfriend. The boyfriend got drunk, urinated on the turkey. My dad's 13. Small town up in Nova Scotia. My dad at 13 grabbed a shovel and he drew a line in the sand and said, if you cross that line to the drunk boyfriend who peed on the turkey, I'm gonna kill you. And so the drunk crossed the line. My dad hit him in the head, knocked him out cold, didn't kill him. Cops came. When the cops came at that time, the cops told my grandmother, my dad's mom, when this man becomes conscious again, one of these two, they're gonna kill each other. So one of them should go. You know what's next. So my grandmother said to my dad, you gotta go. Wow. So he was kicked out at 13. My point.
This is starting to make a lot of sense. You know, family history tells so much about a person. And what he's describing in the very beginning, like his bonding with his dad, was through wrestling. And so it makes sense going back to the earlier part of the interview, why he is, because the interviewer said, hey, your dad told you get out of wrestling or don't be wrestling. You don't want a part of this. But The Rock was like, no, I want to be like that. I want to be like you. I've talked to so many sons, especially the oldest sons, that they want to help their dad. But how can they help their dad if they're not close to him? So it's so cool that he had a way to be close to him. And it sounds like to me that was their relationship, because I went and watched the eulogy that he said about his dad. And of course, with all respect, I noticed that he didn't talk about his dad's character. He didn't talk about his dad, you know, being there for him in all these ways that you would expect, you know, someone to talk about their dad, which really only leads you to one thing, at least for me, is that wasn't their relationship. Not everybody has a dad that was raised with a great family. I mean, look at the story with his dad and his grandma. It's like his dad at 12 years old was trying to stand up for his family, trying to stand up for, you know, like Thanksgiving. And he was, you know, his grandma chose for him to leave. I can only imagine what that made his dad feel. So if you're not given that love as a young man, if you're not like, again, not saying he wasn't loved by his family, but obviously at that particular moment, his family chose, or at least his grandmother chose, a different route. Granted, he's 12 years old. He can't pay bills. Maybe the grandmother's just like, hey, listen, you don't pay bills. You don't do this. Like, we can't survive if he's not a part of our family. So you're going to have to go away. Who knows what other issues his dad had. Maybe he had behavioral issues, whatever it may be. But there's definitely a lack of love. And if his dad wasn't given that love, he may not have known how to give that love to his children, or at least to The Rock. So again, this is making a whole lot more sense. Let's go ahead and continue the video.
That's his capacity for love, right there. So that's the man that raised me. Respect is given when it's earned. No one's going to give you shit. Go out and earn it. Work hard. Get up with me before the sun. Come to the gym. So all that stuff.
Okay, so his dad's telling him and living him the life's lessons that he knew he was confident in. Dad didn't feel confident in sharing love and being vulnerable because it wasn't shared to him, didn't have experience with it. And so he's going to teach his son what he knew. Hard work, no excuses, go hard or go home type of mentality. And this is painting a big picture of how this man, The Rock, was created.
I got from my old man. And the reason why I'm telling this story is because even though I didn't reconcile with my dad, I think one of the saving graces when we talk about faith is if you have a complicated relationship with your dad and you grow up, you start to look at the world differently, like, oh, I want to be the opposite of my dad. I don't want to have that quality. I want to have my own quality. I don't want to do it like that. I want to do it like this. I don't know if I like that. I'd do it like this. But
father, oldest son relationship, I talk to my clients about this all the time. The oldest son, if he's got a complicated relationship, the Rock literally just gave the therapy right there. If you've got a complicated relationship with your dad and you're the oldest son, the first thing your brain's going to think is, I don't want to be like him, or at least in those certain areas. So you may have a complicated relationship with your son. He may want to be like his dad in physique and stature and being a great athlete, but he didn't want to be like his dad in all those other areas. So you think, okay, to not be like my dad, I got to do the opposite of my dad. But that's actually not how you develop a character to be different. Because if you're choosing to be the opposite of someone else based upon undesirable behavior that person is showing, you're actually not choosing what's best for you. You're overcompensating and reacting to what you didn't like. So by definition, you can't figure out who you are by being the opposite of someone else. It's a reaction. Finding the center and finding the middle is difficult to do when you have a polarizing opposite reaction to a behavior that does not benefit your life.
But then when he died, and you really start looking at the stuff that was really important and the stuff that really matters, then you realize, man, I got a lot of great qualities from my old man. Thank you, Dad.
Oh, man. I'm dealing this with my own biological father right now. I dealt with this with my biological mother. I wanted so much to be opposite of her my whole entire life. And I made a lot of decisions in my life to not be like her, only to come full circle in the later part of her life. The best thing that helped me was to accept that she did have qualities that were good and were desirable. And to be like her in certain ways, I shouldn't be ashamed, embarrassed of that. I just need to finish the work that she couldn't finish. I needed to take those great attributes and talents that she had and put them in me and make them better, because she obviously didn't have the loving, nurturing life that I had, or less than what I had. And same thing with my biological father. He didn't have the loving, nurturing life that I was given. And so I'm the oldest of my biological father as well. And so I can really relate to this a lot.
And that's the thing that helps me in a way reconcile with my old man, and that today I can say, hey, thank you, Pops, for, you know. Sick, you know?
Yeah, I mean, especially when your parents passed, like, it does you no good to fester and to go over inside your head, like, all the missed opportunities, all the what-ifs, all the maybes, even though that's natural and everybody's going to do that. But to find those little golden nuggets, to find those things that you're like, wow, I got this from them and this is good, can definitely help heal from all the pain of the other areas where they weren't there for in your life, or the other areas where they weren't developed mentally, emotionally, physically in your life and you just had to figure it out. Because sometimes it's easy to take it personal. Even as adults, it's easy to look at our parents and be like, man, if they would have loved me, why didn't they do this? Or why did they treat me, my family, or other people this way if they loved us? And that's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. But I'm so glad he gave some background information about his father, because it's just helping this make so much more sense.
Powerful. So, meaning a lot of the signs are still through you, even though at one point, my pastor one time told me something I always talk about this. He said, you know, one thing, Patrick, you need to know about your
relationship with your father, every father and son goes through three phases. First, you idolize him. Two, you demonize him. Three, you humanize him. And he says those three phases are evident when you're going to go through it. The sooner you can go into humanize, the more you can enjoy life and your relationship with him.
Man, that is so true, what he just said. Idolize, demonize, and then humanize. Unfortunately, not a lot of people get to the humanize part. Trauma, mistreatment, bad role models. You guys, it's not by accident that having a strong, solid father figure in the home is one of the leading determinants of a young person, boy or girl, not feeling suicidal and not struggling in their own personal life. It's that important of a relationship. Obviously, for good reason, mother relationship with their children is so huge in a kid's life. But as a kid gets older, having a safe, loving father figure, not a perfect, but one who's there for you, it can help you get to that humanizing part. Because when you're traumatized, when you have a lot of issues with your father growing up, not everybody makes it to the humanizing part. It's quite a difficult journey.
Are you there now?
100%. Yeah. Oh, him and right. My dad's my best friend in the world. Him and I have been there in a big way. But he's everywhere I go, he's with us. He lives with us. But if there's one thing you're going to get from this interview.
All right. Well, I guess that's the end of that particular clip, you guys. Let me give you some of my thoughts and feedback on this interview. And again, just give some OG therapy to The Rock. First off, I can relate so much. Like I said, my biological dad, I mentioned him, but the man who I call dad, who I call father, the man who raised me, that took care of me my whole entire life, he was my adopted grandfather. So my biological grandmother, she was the one that raised me. She's Samoan Hawaiian, mostly Samoan. And so I was raised with that Samoan Polynesian culture, but my adapted grandfather, last name Kozlowski, that's where I get my last name, from the East Coast. I just happened to meet my grandmother when he was in Hawaii, stationed at Fort, I can't believe I can't remember the name. But anyways, it's on the west side of the island on Oahu. And he was very lucky to get a Polynesian girl, being a white guy back in those days. But my relationship with him was very similar to what they talked about. Like, you idolize him growing up, then you demonize him, then you humanize them. You know, in my teenage years, in my 20 years, I really wanted nothing to do with my adopted grandfather. I mean, I was nice to him. We hung out, stuff like that, but I just had nothing in common with him. I just didn't have that humanizing side of a relationship with him. It wasn't until I got married. And when I got married, and I was married once before, when I got married, I was going through some hard times in my marriage, and I just reached out to him because the woman that I had married at that particular time reminded me a lot of my biological grandmother and my biological mom. She had a lot of the same characteristics and attributes, and so I knew he'd be able to relate to me. Well, when I started opening up to him, he and I had the deepest, most impactful conversation, so much to the point where long after I'd gone through my divorce and I met now my wife, the woman of my dreams, I made him my best man. I went from being embarrassed that this guy was my father because he and I had nothing in common. Like, our personalities are different. Like, I'm super social and he's very isolated, like kind of an engineer type that just likes to tinker with things. And we didn't have anything in common growing up except for football. That he liked football too. But hearing this interview, some of the thoughts I'm left with from this, and I'm just going to say it. Like I said, I don't know The Rock. And I'm not going to talk trash upon him because I don't talk trash upon anybody, especially when they lose a loved one. But I know for a fact, Dwayne, that no parent wants their kid to be just like them. I know for a fact our parents want us to be better than them. And in fact, when I watched this video, I went back after I watched it and I watched the eulogy video of The Rock. And man, I started crying. I could feel that sense of, man, like... lost my dad. I was feeling like I was a bad son. I started thinking of all the things that I could have done better. And I wasn't really focused on all the things that he didn't do for me because my biological dad, his language of love, or not my biological dad, my grandfather who raised me, I call my dad, His language of love was just to do things for me. His language of love wasn't to sit down and talk to me about feelings and share what he's going through. That wasn't his style. He was a hard worker, much like the Rock's dad, and he showed me hard work, discipline, be tough, don't show pain, stuff like that. He was a military man. But I really choked up in his eulogy because he didn't talk about the character and all these beautiful, sensitive things about his dad. He talked about his wrestling career. He talked about how he's a trailblazer. He talked about all these things because those were the things that reminded him of the best times of his dad and his connection with his dad. And I'm so glad that The Rock had those moments with his dad. I'm so glad that he has those memories with his dad. And so all you oldest sons out there, I want you to listen to this. For all you mothers that you're listening to this podcast and you're concerned about your son and your husband's relationship, play this for him and let him know that even The Rock, one of the biggest, toughest, machos guys in Hollywood, right? You know, being a wrestler for all those years, being a college D1 athlete, that's no easy task, right? This guy's lived a whole entire life being this big, strong, macho man, and I guarantee you the death of his dad has inspired him to be a better father, a better husband, to really take a look at his life, because I know it's done that for me. So Dwayne, if you're listening, dads out there, if you're listening, moms, sons out there, if you're listening, the relationship, whether they're still alive or not, with your father can be improved by you trying to be the best man you can be. And sons out there, if you have a difficult relationship with your dad, when you watch this video, know that you can have a difficult relationship with your dad, but you can find things that you can connect upon. Men, we're simple but complicated creatures at the same time. Guys are more likely to open up and talk about sports and politics and whatever their interests are, cars. And if you have enough of those conversations can then lead to more deeper conversations. I know for a fact, Dwayne, that you are a better father. You're taking care of your daughters. In fact, one of these other interviews that this guy interviewed him, he said that he's turning down things from Hollywood now a lot more than he's ever done before. He just wants to pick up his girls from school. He wants to go to their practices. He wants to be a part of their life. And that means more to him now, more than anything else money could buy. And that makes me proud because the world needs better fathers. Rock, if you've been beating yourself up throughout your life about maybe not being there for, you know, your older child, I don't know if you have, but I'm just saying if you have, I'm pretty sure your older daughter, she gets it. I'm pretty sure that you've been able to rectify that relationship and have a relationship with her, that you and her can have a good relationship, that you and her can have a relationship where you can apologize to her, that you can learn from your dad's mistakes, because I'm sure your dad wanted to apologize to you. I'm sure your dad in his own way apologized to you just by sharing, you know, how proud he is of you. I saw you introduce your dad into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. That was an amazing speech as well. I see the strength of your Samoan mother. I see how much she's influenced you, but I also see how great of a father you're trying to be, and I'm proud of you. And for all you fathers out there that are just trying to do better than you were yesterday or last week or last year, just know that your fathers want you to be better than them as well. So guys, thank you for always listening to OG Therapy, for listening to this podcast. And just remember, when you're down on your knees, you're saying, please, Lord, baby, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, whoever you worship, please, please, please help me be a better father. Help me be a better parent. Help me have a better relationship with my kids. Keep on doing all that soul searching. Keep on doing all that pondering. Keep on doing all that meditation, therapy, talking to your best friends, whatever you got to do. But also remember, you can press play and listen to OG Therapy to help you as well. So until next time, be cool. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.